Welcome to the Made for Agriculture podcast with Adam, Cameron, and Emily. Today's hosts are Adam Jones and Cameron Horan.
All right, folks, welcome to another episode of the Made for Agriculture podcast. We've got our in-season podcast team here along with Cameron. How are we doing this morning, Cameron?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's raining outside, and the consensus this morning is that's either good or bad. So we'll let our regional agronomists provide their definition for that. I think we want to start this morning and kind of go around the horn by crop. So guys said that they wanted to start with wheat and some things going on in the wheat crop. So I guess we'll go to Shannon for starting that conversation.
Yeah, good morning, guys. So wheat kind of slowed down a little bit with the cooler temperatures. We actually had a light freeze Monday morning, Sunday night. And ever since about mid last week, it's been in the 50s and 60s, and growth's really slowed down. But you know, as we've been talking over the last few weeks, that's prime weather for stripe rust, and we consistently started seeing it in the fields this week. Hard wheat, soft wheat, you name it. You don't have to check a field very long, and we start finding the disease. So fungicide timing now becomes topic. When we're going to put fungicide on, either is it going to be a flag leaf fungicide or a flowering fungicide application? And really, a lot of our wheat ranges from late boot, early head emergence to starting to flower. Really, the wheat crop this year is pretty uneven, and uneven in the field, which is making this application timing kind of difficult. So historically, you know, our old Trizol flowering fungicides, we had to wait till about 50 to 60% flowering before we made those applications. And then a few years ago, we had products like Miravisace come on board. Still a Trizol, but also has the addition of an SDHI that allows for a little bit wider window. So now we're able to, if we're using a product like Miravisace, we're able to put the fungicide on, you know, 50% heading across the field. So which that's essentially going to give us the same coverage as what the old Presaros, the old Carambas would give us with that 50 to 60% flowering. So when we're out looking at the field, right now what we're seeing is we have some plants that are 100% headed. We've got some plants that are 50% headed, and we got some plants that haven't even started heading yet, all in the same field. And so we have to take that into account whenever we're trying to make this decision of when to put our fungicide on. I don't know that we've covered Fusarium head blight a whole lot, but Fusarium head blight is commonly known as head scab, leads to vomitoxin, poor grain quality. We haven't really had a bad year for a few years, so it's something that's kind of on our radar, especially with the weather. We mentioned it's raining right now. Moisture during flowering is kind of our key environment for the disease to pop up. And Fusarium is the pathogen, which Fusarium overwinters in our fields. In my part of the world, we have a lot of wheat behind corn stalks, and Fusarium is the same disease that impacts corn. So if we are following corn stalks for no-till or minimal till, there's no doubt that we have Fusarium in our fields. So with that, and with the rain we've had over the next few days, definitely on the radar. We actually started putting on some fungicide just before the rain on Wednesday, and that covered a lot of that wheat that was early. We'll be finishing up applications Monday. We should have more wheat that's more headed out, not quite flowering. So we're kind of in this in-between time right now, which doesn't have me a whole lot worried, but there is definitely potential of Fusarium head blight popping up now with these rains.
Gotcha. No, that's good information. Scott, Kevin, Jesse, you guys want to add in anything that you guys have found wheat-wise in your area? I know it's not as much of a major crop as it is for Shannon, but there's still some out there.
So I did have a consultant, Megan Atkins in Northeast Missouri, did find stripe rust yesterday. So now she just found it on one plant and not something that was, you know, throughout an entire field or causing a lot of damage yet, but definitely something we're going to have to keep watching for in the north even. There been some other leaf diseases like tan spot, Septoria, but we're kind of the end of the boot stage now, and we have a lot of heads that are going to be poking out pretty soon. And I think head scab is going to be probably a bigger concern up north. So we'll probably see a lot of that, a lot of our fungicide applications focusing on head scab. We're kind of towards the tail end of being able to hit that leaf disease timing just right for those diseases. So I feel like we'll probably see most of those applications for head scab up this way.
Not a lot to add. I guess good morning, everybody. Not a lot to add from what the other guy said. I guess for us, we've found some stripe rust on the west side of the central region. But knowing that Kevin found it up in Marion County, it's seems pretty safe to say that we've got it throughout the region, whether it's been detected or not. We are finally getting a little bit of rain, only a couple tenths so far in the Mexico area, but looks like there's maybe some more behind it. And just kind of assuming that the dry weather so far has kept it from showing up in a lot of places. So we obviously now have the moisture and we have the temperatures. So we'll be being even in more diligent than we've been. The only other thing I'd add, I've been asked a lot about insecticides, and we haven't seen a lot to warrant that so far. You know, there's some aphids out there, but you know, at this point in time, not really numbers that would affect the plants just by, you know, what they do to the plants as far as feeding. You know, it's a little late in the game to be too concerned about the disease, you know, vector aspect of aphids. But we are had a lot of pictures of armyworms sent to me this week. We've been getting the updates. Had a picture sent to me yesterday from out west, north of Adrian, of a pasture, you know, wiped out by armyworms. So we've still got a little bit of time. Between the, like Shannon said, everything kind of slowed down when it cooled off. Maybe tail end of next week, we'll be making applications, some a little bit sooner if the weather straightens out. So we have a few days to make the call, but there may be reason to put an insecticide in simply because we're worried about armyworms. They're tough to track, you know, in this kind of a situation, because they just seem to kind of pop up here and there. And all of a sudden, you know, you had grass one day and a couple of days later, you notice it's gone. So obviously the fields that we're scouting, you know, they're still sweeping the fields and, you know, hopefully can pick up on that. But that would be the thing that I'd add to the whole wheat fungicide situation.
I don't have much to add. We're still not seeing no stripe rust down here, but we're a little bit ahead of everybody else. This week's been cool, but last week we had like 6 days, 85 degree weather, and our week really come on. Like Shannon, we thought we were going to be uneven, but after all those warm days, our wheat all kind of evened up, and shoot, we were putting fungicide on last week, and we're kind of on the tail end of ours now. So I'd say us seeing stripe rust, slim to none.
All right. Sounds good. Anybody else have anything to add on wheat? Otherwise, let's move on and kind of talk corn and soybeans. Kevin, why don't we start with you kind of on that discussion? I know progress since we talked last a couple weeks ago has kind of been spotty, probably more in central in Scott's territory as far as planting goes. But there has been some going on for sure. So let's talk a little bit on corn and soybeans and what to watch out for.
Sure. So after we recorded our last podcast, we had probably about two or three more good days of planting, and it has rained ever since throughout much of the north region. There has been some spots where it has, you know, it has dried up here and there to get some more crop in the ground, and we have, everything has stayed pretty fairly solid up until now, to where I think most of our locations have been able to, considering all the rain, do a pretty good job of keeping up with spring. But it has just been a little wet to continue planting in a lot of places. But with a lot of corn being in the ground for 2 weeks, we've got a lot of corn popping up, and we are seeing some cutworms. You know, due to that, we always do recommend adding an insecticide with that herbicide application to, you know, prevent those, you know, in fields that aren't sprayed yet. We're still recommending that, you know, especially now that we're seeing cutworm feeding on this little corn that's popping up. You know, with cutworms, they can just cause stand loss so quickly. So it's one of those insects that we recommend a preventative measures on, just because it's just so hard to keep up with them. They can cause a lot of damage really fast. So that's something we've been keeping our eye out on corn. You know, during that busy period, there were a handful of soybeans planted. We don't have a lot of soybeans popping up yet. I've got reports of a few fields just kind of starting to emerge, but there most any soybeans in the ground up north are still underground. Big majority of them will be. So, you know, we're always recommending putting those, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, recommending especially planting early, and just for this reason, to have those seed treatments on to protect that seed, especially if it's going to take a couple weeks to come up, protect against all those diseases, any early season insects and all those things. So far it looks like our treatments are doing pretty well. We're not getting a whole lot of reports yet of, you know, any diseases happening underground. I think everything seems to be holding up to this point.
Not a lot different probably in Central. Quite a bit of the corn has been planted at this point. Got some pretty good stands from a lot of what we're seeing across the region. There are areas where we are still watching emergence in some fields, and you know, I think this rain's gonna kind of push it one way or the other. You know, we'll know something here pretty quick. Didn't really, you know, didn't see a true what I would call cresting on some fields, but there were just some really tight soils. And, you know, just I think combination of some, where a few places did get some hard rains right after planting, and then, you know, the cool weather, and just a lot of things have been tough on a few of these stands. So I'm suspecting we will have a few replants here and there, just from what I'm seeing. And I've got some fields to look at next week. But overall, getting pretty decent reports. Like Kevin said, cutworms are out there. We've been talking about those. You know, it's been a long time. I mean, a lot of our corn is traded to where, you know, we do have BT that will work on a lot of the cutworms, but they still have to feed on it. So as far as getting those, you know, you have a corn stand one day and it's wiped out a day later, like we used to see. I mean, I remember years ago when I was still in college spraying over at Ladonia, and, you know, told to get in early next morning, we have cutworms to spray, and I come racing in, you know, whatever, 5 a.m, and I'm loading up water, and assistant manager comes over and says, cool off. He said, it's gone. You know, we should have sprayed it in the dark last night. You know, just, you don't hear that stuff anymore, but you do, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 plants out of your stand is very, very common. And I just, you know, for what we do to put that crop in, and all of the things we've done to these planters to just perfect seed drop and spacing, and, you know, we've tried to really play and get our populations, you know, right where they need to be field by field. And then we let something go out and chew on 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 of them. That's more what we see. And we are seeing that this year. So, you know, if you haven't sprayed yet, you know, definitely throw that pyrethroid in and just eliminate that issue. On the soybean side, we're kind of, again, kind of like Kevin, we've got some emergence, hearing of some decent counts in places, but a lot of them are just too far ahead. Got some pictures sent to me yesterday and some fields I need to look at next week. Looks like we do have, you know, a few places with some of the damping off, you know, diseases, appears to be. Need to get some stuff into the lab to see exactly what we're dealing with. But again, I think some of these cool temperatures and maybe just some tougher tougher planting conditions are leading to some emergence issues in those fields. Say the big thing has been just a lot of beans got put in the ground really fast in some areas. And you know, I know some guys have just been racing to try to get down, the authorities and Valors and Tendovos and, boundaries and just all the stuff that has to be up before emergence for, very important for our water hemp control. And boy, these winds have made it tough. But, there's still been quite a bit of crop protection put to the ground and just kind of a race to get that on before they pop through. So that's all I got on that.
Sounds good. Shannon, Jesse, you guys probably have a more advanced crop down there. I'll let you guys jump in and talk about that.
So actually, I don't know if ours is more advanced. We're all but done planting corn. I said at least 95% done, if not a little bit higher. We've got some V1 corn, but there was a lot of corn that was put in just before this rain. So like Scott said, this rain is going to make it kind of, it's either going to come up and it's going to be perfect stands, or we're going to have some replant here. It all depends on how much it rains and how long the water sets on the field, of course. There have been a few reports of cutworms as well, following a lot of precautions that Kevin and Scott mentioned there on protecting from there. Bean-wise, we've got a few beans in the ground, but not nearly as much as what they tend to do up north. As of this week, I think they were just starting to pop out of the ground. There was a little bit. Well, one of the concerns was that freeze on Sunday night, Monday morning. Are those beans viable after a freeze like that? We didn't quite get down to. We touched right at 32, and kind of what my rule of thumb is, as long as we're kind of in that cotyledon stage, we have a little bit higher tolerance than we would if the trifoliates were out on soybeans. But that growing point's at the top of the plant. So anytime that plant emerges, that growing point's up there. So really it's going to come down to, how long was it that cold? How cold did it actually get? And did that growing point get damaged? So typical of most freeze damage topics when we talk about any crop, we have to give it a few days, reevaluate. See if there's any new growth, see if stain was impacted, and we'll make that replant decision. That'll likely be a conversation around first next week.
For us, we're a lot further down the road. I'm going to say we go back to, like I said earlier, 2 weeks ago, we had a stretch of 6 days that was 85 degrees, and that really brought a lot of crop out of the ground. For the corn, especially the southern part, I'm going to say we're 100% done. And I'm going to say 95% of that's out of the ground. I was down around Kennett and some of that sand stuff that was planted late March. And I mean, shoot, some of that corn's already V4, V5, and they're top dressing it. Some of our March planted beans are first trifoliate with the second trifoliate coming out, and they've been posting them with herbicides. So that 85 degree weather really brought a lot of our stuff around. Now, when we had a frost Monday morning, but we only got down to like 35. So you can see it ding stuff, but it didn't hurt it by no means. But that really brought a halt to the growing. We had like 3 days of zero growing degrees. But now we're supposed to get back up in the 80s, and a lot of this crop will turn around now, especially our corn and beans. Now the northern half, they're a little bit further behind us. I'm gonna say there's 60-70% planted on corn and maybe 50% planted on beans. But a chunk of those are out of the ground too. So biggest deal is just controlling what you got. Like Scott said, I mean, in the past 2 weeks, I bet we've probably had three really good days of spraying, just the wind blowing. Now there's been a lot more sprayers running and a lot more of those days. I don't want to get on drift complaints or nothing like that, but there's been a lot of gossip around for the people who were spraying in the 25 mile an hour winds. But just kind of a make sure you're paying a little bit of attention and not just let emotion take over and just go spraying a bunch of stuff. Because there's a lot of crop out of the ground for us. We do have cutworms. One thing I wanted to add is we got some guys around the Ethos in furrow, and I was kind of worried about that controlling our cutworms good enough, but it seems to where it's getting most of them, and we're not losing a whole lot of stands. So that's just something else to think about if you want to run something in furrow versus putting a pyrethroid with your pre's. Besides that, that's all I've got on corn and beans, really. If anybody's got anything else before I start talking about my other two crops that nobody else has.
No, that's great. I mean, that's interesting stuff to most folks, Jesse. So, yeah, nobody's got anything else on corn and soybeans. I'd say go for it.
Okay. I'll start out with the rice. Majority of the rice is planted, I'm going to say 99, 95% of it. The biggest struggle is with our rains. You've either been getting rain, good rains once a week, or you ain't been getting nothing. So with rice, we don't normally talk about it in April, but we start losing rain, our herbicides do not work as well because our barnyard grass and stuff like that germinate in that top half inch. And once it gets dry, even though you got moisture there for even the rice to be growing, your grasses and stuff like that, your weeds aren't growing. So they kind of get stressed and the chemical just doesn't work very well. We need moisture to get them work. And we've been struggling with that. And some of the rains, we got uneven rice stands. So we have rice at two leaf and some that's just germinated. So then trying to play the game of, well, what can I actually spray on it and not hurt it and this, that, and the other. And it's just been, it's been a struggle for guys. It's just the start of last year all over again. So we're hoping we got more rain coming. If we can get a couple good rains here now, we can kind of make up for a lot of this and get our wheat fields cleaned back up and go forward. With the cotton, there was actually, we had an inside podcast since then, but I didn't realize there was a lot of cotton planted first April, which is not heard of for us normally, but it was warm. There's cotton up, herbicides going out on it, but most of it started going in this week and it'll be up next week. So it's just been, you drive around and there's just a lot of crop up. Like I said earlier, it's kind of impressing that the southern half of our territory, there's going to be 80% of the crop out of the ground before we hit the 1st of May.
Jesse, any major acreage swings down there? This is one thing I was going to ask you about. I know that, you know, for a while there, kind of rice didn't participate in some of that market upswing that some of the corn and stuff did in the past couple of years. And so I think acres have kind of fluctuated there a little bit. But I know maybe there was some things going on this year. Any thoughts there on what you're seeing from a?
Yeah, actually, there was in the rice deal. There was a big deal. I hadn't really talked about it because it doesn't influence a lot of people. But I was listening to Jared Harkey last week, and just Arkansas in itself is up by like 300,000 acres. It's their biggest rice year since like 2017. And with Rice Tech and Horizon Ag and then the University varieties, they're always 2 years behind us on seed production. So they were not forecasting this big jump on rice acres. And then they had some weather events last year in Texas where we didn't get as much seed produced. So actually there was zero replant seed this year because they sold everything and guys were still wanting more rice. So that was something. Normally grass goes out early because it can tolerate some cooler, wet weather. But a lot of guys waited to plant just because we knew there was no replant seed to be having. So there was kind of, and there's a lot of guys that normally do one or two technologies that are running three different technologies scattered out all over the place just because they couldn't get the seed they wanted. So that's been a big deal. So yeah, to answer your question, rice acres are way up.
Gotcha. Yeah. I wondered if with kind of the downturn in some of the corn and soybean market situations that some of those other crops wouldn't see a jump in acres. Sounds like that's what you're seeing. So gotcha. Any other updates that we need to cover, guys, for this week?
The only thing I was going to mention, like Shannon and Scott, they kind of already touched on it, is, you know, we talked about last week at our last time we had a podcast about we were looking at a dip in cooler weathers, and we talked about how we had some frost in some areas. From that, since we recorded our last podcast, I've had some talks of some replants being turned in from some frost damage. And I've kind of just, I've told them that, you know, you need to make sure you evaluate that. Don't just because you had a frost instantly go and think you need to have a replant at that moment. You need to give it a chance to evaluate, especially on corn with that growing points under the ground. Sometimes you just have leaf damage. It's not actually going to have an impact. It just doesn't look pretty. So, just wanted to touch on that. Shannon touched on that on beans already as well. So,
yeah, we had a little bit of that. I didn't even mention it. You know, I think all that corn will be fine. The beans, we're just gonna, like you said, gonna have to evaluate it. I did not get any calls about any wheat. I guess I looked at one field where there was some concern, and I didn't see anything. But it may have been a little soon too. So, the other thing I was going to bring up, there are still a ton of weevil out in the alfalfa. I looked at a field yesterday where they had thought something had actually killed the crop, and we're already making plans, and I think it's simply weevil. They're just, when you found any surviving alfalfa, it was just loaded. So they are still out there. Some fields that have been treated, but everybody's talking about the slow growth. Same thing, and alfalfa is just kind of sitting there, and some of them that have been treated, you know, have them back in there again. Dave Moore, our range and pasture specialist, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said he thinks it's the worst weevil year he's ever seen. So, you know, if you've still got some patches that have not been treated, I mean, get out and look at them. I already talked about the army worm thing, and that can also be a deal in alfalfa, but obviously just in grass in general. You know, this might sound kind of silly, but I think every cow guy, every grass guy or whatever, you don't have to get a fancy one, an expensive one like we use when we're sweeping soybeans and all that. But I mean, just a $20 sweep net thrown on the back of the truck. You know, we all look silly when we're out there using them, but you cannot find insects without sweeping them, you know, to really do a good job. You know, there's things you can do if you don't have one today and you need to check, you know, very gently clip a plant. If you got a best thing to have is a white pickup and go out there and, you know, bang them on the hood of your truck and see what falls out, or lay something out in the field and, you know, kind of brush them into that. But really just a $20 sweep net can save so much when you're out checking cows or you're out just driving through a pasture. Stop for just a second, sweep it. You know, army worm and weevil is pretty easy to identify. You can also see what else is going out there. I guess the only other thing, you know, oddball stuff this week, I started getting some calls yesterday about slugs showing up in some soybeans behind the cover crop. That's something we see every so many years. And I think cool temps kind of slowing down the beans, and then the rain we're getting, you know, that could be a little more of an issue. Usually they outgrow it and just kind of make things ugly and maybe thin the stand a little bit, but every now and again we have fields that, you know, have replant issues because of that as well. But that's all I got.
Sounds good. Well, if nobody has anything else super pressing, I think we'll end this one today. I appreciate all you guys' time this morning providing some updates, and appreciate everybody's time listening. We'll see you next episode. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
See you guys.